Yes, I'm ready. I'm just sitting here. Okay,
I'm just making sure.
Thank you.
Well, I want to welcome everybody to tonight's meeting. We've got quite a bit going on. And so we'll begin by saying the Pledge of Allegiance. If everyone will stand and face the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. All right.
Are these mine?
I think so.
First thing on the agenda is to approve the minutes for April and May. And we were unable to get the May one, so we'll have to roll those over till next month. But we do have the April ones. Did everybody get a chance to look at them? I did them in three parts. And I have to get some information from Judy, but I believe we have them. So have we got any corrections?
And you said that last copy that came out was just an update on people?
On the names present, yeah. Okay. The people present was all the only difference. We just want to make sure we have them all. If we have no corrections, if somebody wants to make the motion.
I'll make a motion. April's meeting minutes. Be submitted.
A second.
All in favor?
Gladys, yes.
Elizabeth, yes.
Steve, yes.
Jim, yes.
Judy, yes. Okay, the minutes are approved as is.
Before you move on to from minutes, one thing that a couple years ago we introduced a program that helped Michela with minutes. It was a digital program that does the recording and also does a lot of the notes, and I taught her how to use it, and I think the town purchased it. Oh, it's a program that the district uses, and it's and so if it didn't get passed on, it should, because it's something that will make it a much easier process for you, Lexi. And so if that hasn't gotten shared with you, because I believe it was purchased within the last year, and it was a year like a contract. And so we should look into it. And if you find it or don't, I can teach you how to use it.
She actually mentioned it tonight. She said there's a program out there. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
so,
and I know it was Michela pretty early on. I taught her how to use it. And then I know.
Good.
And I don't know if Peg, you ever use it or not. But anyway, I will connect with you. But I think it is something that we currently have purchased. And if not, it should be something that we look into to support that. So one, it makes it easier for you too, but also so they can get posted timely for the public.
That's great. Okay. Received, speaking about the fire protection, we received a letter from the Planning Commission in response to the discussion at May 5th Town Council meeting. The Planning Commission proposes to work with stakeholders to develop amendments to the current subdivision standards and the building permit standards to provide greater clarity and specificity as to town requirements for fire protection. The issues to be addressed will include firefighting, water storage and distribution, proximity to hydrants, fire code provisions for private firefighting water supplies, emergency vehicle access, and fire breaks. Current practices used by other jurisdictions to comply with the Utah Urban Wildland Interface Code will be considered. I like the idea of that. I want to open this up for discussion and see what you guys think.
And not particularly to this, but I think maybe when we want the Planning Commission to do things, we need to give it to them in written form. This is what we'd like to do, because, and I'm Carol and say, this is what we want you to do, and then they don't always ignore. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm the new kid on the block.
Okay,
so I think so that's good. Yeah. But does everybody like what they're proposing?
Yes.
So we'll put it in writing that this is basically, we like this idea. Okay, so I make a motion that we send this to the Planning Commission. Do I have a second?
I will second it.
All in favor?
Gladys, yes.
Elizabeth, yes.
Steve, yes.
Jim, yes.
Judy, yes.
Okay. Another thing as far as fire protection that I have a question about. I know we passed to have the fire ban go in, and I know now that the whole county is under the fire ban, and that was previously when we passed the fire ban, it's been like the whole policy has been written out, and it specifically tells people what they can and can't do and what is an approved fire pit and so on and so forth. And I think in the future, we should use that, because until the one that came out that was from the county, people weren't really sure what was allowed and what wasn't. And I think the more information we give people, the more likely that people can follow it.
Okay, so Elizabeth, is that something that we had previously?
Yeah, we've used it every other year, and it's the whole thing, and it gets posted. And it says, you know, in the date, and I should have pulled one up to give an example, but it was under, and I wasn't here, and I was under the assumption when we passed it, not last month, the month before, that there was a copy here that you all were going off of when we passed it, and we put it into effect, and it always had a date that can then get edited, but it, you know, it describes what is an established fire pit, and what is, and I think that that information is really important, and that it is our responsibility to pass that information on to people, and right now we have that information shared because it's the county one is in effect, but we need to make sure that we also are sharing that information, especially when we're going earlier or later than the county.
All right. Well, if you have it, send it on.
Yeah, I can find it.
I'm putting a fire file together for that kind of stuff, the dates and everything. So it can go in our, I'm putting a book together for the clerk's office. And so that will go into the fire protection thing. Okay, sure. All right, 4th of July update. Before Jimmy lets us know his part of it, the BCA sent us a letter and said that they didn't want to do it this year. There's a misunderstanding, and so hopefully we can all get together and work it out for next year, but this year it's up to the town to take the whole 4th of July. So the thing about the parade, the part about the parade and where it's going to be, we're trying to initiate a new insurance company, possibly, and it's called the Utah Trust, and they've got more coverage free than Olympus does. So I got Olympus's bid. And as soon as I get Utah Trust bid back, we're probably going to have an emergency meeting to discuss that quickly and to make a motion to pass whoever we want. And I kind of like to do it Zoom so that the young man from Utah Trust can explain how Utah Trust works. He told me if we go with the Utah Trust instead of Olympus, they can issue a permit quickly for the parade. I haven't talked to Preston with Olympus Insurance yet, and but Judy tells me that they usually do that every year at the last minute too, because our insurance expires on July 1st. So that makes here with the parade when it is, you know, you're rolling over to the new policy. So anyway, that's kind of where we stand with the insurance. So as soon as we get both policies, we'll call a quick meeting, what else did they call it, Judy? It's not an emergency, but it's an executive. No,
that's not
exactly. Any of you guys know which meeting it is.
It's when it's called upon, but I can't think
of it. Anyway. So that we can vote on the insurance and decide what we want to do. So is everybody good with that?
Yeah.
And if we can Zoom it, that'll make it even better. If somebody can't quick attend, you know. So we'll see what we can do. And it's going to be within the next, I'm guessing, 8 to 10 days, maybe 15 on the outside. I don't think it'll go that long. So, but I just wanted to make you aware. So,
and with the insurance, is the parade route being determined? Because I know a couple of years we switched to a different route, and then because of it, we didn't have to have permission from the highway.
Yeah.
And does that change it? And have we decided?
Well,
on that?
Pam and Judy did the UDOT, right? Application for the UDOT.
So that's been completed.
But the other part is the insurance.
Yeah. But so the route and the UDOT application has already been completed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think, was there more to that, Judy, that you can remember? Okay. Well, we'll check into it for sure and make sure. But after talking to Pam, it seemed to me like that was what was left to do as far as the parade goes. Okay. All right. Jimmy, update.
So we got Patrick to play for the band. We got a couple different businesses that are going to donate different food, hamburger buns, different things like that, for food wise. And then for games, we're still trying to put a bunch of stuff together for it. So we're getting there.
Okay. She was telling me that, Pam was telling me Brandy brought some of the tents and stuff for it. I'll talk to her. She comes in all the time. I'll talk to her and see what I can do on that side of it. And
Relief Society said that they would do, she would get together, Barta said she'd get together and put kind of like a potluck for desserts. So she's going to be asking a bunch of people for desserts.
Okay. All right. Well,
I think one thing we should just recognize and make sure that we're real aware moving forward is that just based on the communication from the letter from BCA, that we're acknowledging that, you know, in the past we had a relationship with them and that we didn't communicate that we needed a change before we made a change.
Yeah, and I wasn't aware of that.
And I just think it's really important that we are aware of it and that we own our responsibility of it. And, you know, at this point, you know, it doesn't seem like, you know, because they had done a lot of planning and we kind of just took that out. And it's important that that is recognized. And also moving forward to figure out how are we going to prevent something like that. And it got me to really be thinking that we have so many organizations in this community that have a liaison between the town and them, and we don't for BCA. And I think it would be to our benefit to see if they are interested in that. And I don't know who would be interested. I'd be happy to be a liaison and take that on as an additional department. But I think that, you know, whether it's BCA or any other organization, it's important that we recognize that we need to communicate ahead of time and work together.
Yeah,
so we can prevent something like this in the future.
Yeah, I agree. I was surprised because I didn't know that part, but I didn't know back in 2016 that they'd made those arrangements.
Yeah.
You know, and I tried, you know, I was talking to Pam about it. So she did say that there's a good chance we could get together again, iron this thing out and, you know, see what we can do to let them. Mm-hmm. Oh, Josh, I didn't see you back then. Go ahead, Josh.
Yeah, I mean, I would just like to say that the way that the lack of a conversation around this went down was deeply hurtful to all of us that have put in so many years of work to planning this event. And I want to state for the record that Jimmy lied about reaching out to me and my wife and communicating with us about this event. That communication never occurred.
I never talked to you.
I want to clear my name on the public record about that because you have no objective evidence that you reached out to us in any form because you did not. And I want to be very clear that what swiping my name across like that was deeply hurtful and disrespectful.
Josh, I said I tried calling you twice and I never talked to you. That was my exact words.
Many times. Reaching out involves leaving a message.
But that's what I said, and I didn't do it. And yeah. I even said that.
No, you didn't say that. I listened to it many times. It was deeply hurtful. The way this was handled by this town council was immensely, in our opinion, disrespectful and frustrating. We are more than happy to revisit it in the future, but coming in last minute and taking over the event without communicating to us is quite frankly like crazy and weird. And we can't, it's too much work, that's too precision execution to make giant last minute adjustments in the month of May.
And I agree, Josh, and that's on me because I probably should have checked it out more. But I honestly, from my perspective alone, we had the extra money and I just thought, well, good, we can help out with the food, okay? So it really is on me because being the mayor, I should have at least asked and said, have plans already been made? So I do apologize for that and it won't happen.
Yeah,
but I hope we can.
We should have come to you earlier as well. And we had in the past showed up and that's definitely on us for sure.
Well, next year we'll do it better between now and then, okay?
And
revisit this and see if we can't work it out because you guys do an amazing job. And after talking to Pam and listening to everything that you do, and I really appreciate that. I really do. So we'll do better. We'll get better, okay?
Thank you.
I do think though, moving forward as a part of a solution, whether it's for this or other events, I do think that we should take a moment to look at not just BCA, any other organizations and entities that collaborate and provide for the town, that each one is represented and that we at least offer to have a liaison between the town council and their organization.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. At least that will bring the communication in, and if somebody misses, it'll be picked up, you know, and can be expressed. So that's a good idea, Elizabeth. All right, is that all on that right now? Okay, next. Elizabeth brought this to my attention, and we do have to vote on Lexi being our assistant town clerk, and I missed that last month, so we do need to make a motion to that because we're glad to have her, and now that she's out of school, she's really going to dig in and she's got a lot of cool ideas to be able to bring a lot of our Polaris. They're absolutely amazing. But she's got some ideas that will help along the way to make the job a little bit easier also. So
I make a motion to have Lexi Johnson be the assistant town clerk.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Travis, yes.
Elizabeth, yes.
Steve, yes. Jimmy, yes.
Judy, yes. All right, Lex, you're official.
Thank you.
Okay, the bird trail hazard update. As we all know, that bird trail, especially right there where the Boulder Mesa, right there at that hill, is such a dangerous, dangerous place. There's probably not one person in town that hasn't been affected on that hill at one time or another. And so I'm going to let Jimmy talk. He met with Jerry Taylor, and I'll let him give you the update.
So I also met with Tracy Munson. He's the guy that's in charge of UDOT for our area. He says that the best way to do it would be putting in a turn lane coming from the south, coming in. And then when I talked to Dave Dodds and Jerry Taylor, the whole access point for the Bird Trail Grill and the coffee shop coming out to the south, that big parking lot that's right there, says if we want to actually make it to where it's a little safer, we need to make it to where that whole entire thing is not an exit. They need to actually narrow it down to there's only one exit coming out of the parking lot itself. So that way you don't have one car trying to go this way, one tractor car this way, one car trying to pull in. And I told them that the way that when they put in the U-turn now, what they did was push everybody down onto the bird trail instead of making them turn into the highway off of Highway 12 because it's a double yellow line right there. And so UDOT's going to find out, have a meeting with their guys to see if they can come in and at least fix their section of Highway 12, which goes all the way over to, let's see, about 55 feet into the parking lot, going all the way down to where my parents' old sign was on that red post down there on Kelly and Yvonne's place, and going all the way down from there. So they're trying to look and see if they can put in a turn lane, what they need to do to actually make the whole entire thing safe. Says we need to get a hold of Catherine Gibbs or Catherine and see if she'll actually trim her trees. Mm-hmm. If the town says the town will pay for it, if we ask him to, because it's hanging over a town road.
Yeah.
Let's see. Other than that, I won't know anything until he gets back to me. After
okay. That's a bad area, bad corner, bad everything. I've about got hit pulling out there. You can't see when the campers are parked there. It's just, especially with all the traffic we have now and the tourists. All right, we'll wait to hear the update on that again. The voting box at the town hall. I've been talking with Camille Moore at the county, and they're going to bring a voting box down to the town hall on Monday at 10:30, and Lexi and Judy will be here to meet them. And then we will have, this will also be on the Insider. Camilla is going to advertise this so everybody knows if they want to come down and drop their votes in the drop box. It will be the 13th and the 15th, the 20th and the 22nd. And we'll put notes up everywhere so everybody knows also. And the 27th, and the town hall will be open from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. those days, so that if you want to drop your ballots in the box, that you can come and do that if you don't want to mail them in. They will pick up the ballot boxes locked. They will pick up the box on election day on the 28th between 3 and 3:30. And Camille said, if anybody wants to come and watch them count ballots, they are more than welcome. They have nothing to hide. In fact, they're encouraging it. And they've got like three locks on these ballot boxes. They've really taken the extra step to try and ensure that the public feels safe in election, that putting their ballot in the election boxes. And I would like to advise you, if you haven't seen 2000 Mules, any of you, watch it. You will find out what went off, part of what went on in the last election. 2000 Mules. There's a couple more that are out there, but that is the big one. Let's see. The ballots are coming from Phoenix. I guess they're the printer. And, the other thing she said, if you don't get your ballots by the 9th, 10th, or 11th, to give her a call, they'll put out a notice on the Insider that anybody that doesn't have them before the 15th, to please let them know, and they will resend another ballot out so that you get it in time. Okay, we'll address the November issue later on the election, but they'll basically do the same thing with the ballots for that also.
So the clarifying question, the ballot box is just an option. You can either mail in or come in. Correct. And it's just your choice.
You're correct. If you want to mail them, you can, but make sure that if you drop them in the box that they are still in their envelope so that they can verify the signature. I think we covered that. That's all she said for me.
Jenny, this is Scott Brody. I wondered if I could revisit the last agenda item on Bird Trail with a question and a comment.
Probably at the end. We'll take public comments on the end, if that's okay. That's kind of when we do that. And we make record of all that.
Okay.
All right. Next, we're going to have the public hearing on the budget. So, I will entertain a motion to close the public meeting and open the public hearing for the budget.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Gladys, yes.
Elizabeth, yes.
Steve, yes.
Jim, yes.
Judy, yes. Okay, motion carries. The public hearing is open on the budget. The only thing that I changed on that budget, I spoke with our auditor And I changed the general sales tax. He gave me some really good information about going, looking at the audit that they do in October and going from there. And it was really, really helpful. And being my first budget, I wasn't 100% sure on a couple of things, and he really did help me. And so I changed the general sales tax, and it was 105.304, and I took it down.
What page? It's page 1 of 4.5.
Yeah, and that looks like a huge, huge chunk, but yeah, but if you notice on the actual on 2022, it was higher than, and I kind of went by that only because I really wasn't sure. And then after talking to our auditor and looking at some things that he showed me, I adjusted it in other areas. And we actually probably have, you got it. That's right. Let me just take this. So on that line, it's 36,815. And I did take out down here on the internal governmental revenue. I took the ARPA of 14,252 out because I had forgotten about our funds for the safety. For UDOT and the safety lines and the
sorts,
yeah, the speed bumps everybody loves.
So you got rid of the 14,262.
Yeah, I did. That's probably going to come in, Elizabeth, but I wasn't really sure, and I thought it might be better to be surprised in that area.
And then you added the UDOT.
Yeah, all the paperwork did come in. I mean, we got it in on time. It was a pain, but we did. We finally got it in. So the money should, the $14,000 will come in. So that'll be a bonus, you know, when it does come in. But we definitely will get that $28,825. I made a couple of other small adjustments. Anyway, it took it, the bottom line on the revenue is 174,192. I just made a few adjustments up above. I pretty well left all the expenses because we can move those around if we need to, if we have a need here or there to move the expenses around. But anyway, we're in pretty good shape for the most part.
And you said you added to the fund balance. Where did you do that?
The fund balance, I changed.
The 3990?
Yeah, the fund balance, the 110 from last time, I changed down to 50,075. And that was one of the things that the auditor was talking to me about. So that's why I did that. And if we need to change things around as we go along, we can do that.
So the version that's posted on the website right now, though, is not with these changes. It was the one that was done at the last one.
It was the last one with the 105. The bottom line is the same. The only difference is that the general sales tax, and I was talking it over with him, and we've got a year to go. We've also got the situation of what we're up against. We don't know what fuel is going to do to our tourism, and our tourism brings us quite a bit of money in. So that's kind of why I adjusted the way that I did, because we're not quite sure. It was like with COVID, but I think COVID's a little bit different in the fact that, and it did take a toll, but this with the fuel and the groceries and traveling, you know what I'm saying? People got to the point where they were tired of being home, and they said, I'm putting on my mask and I'm out of here. So everybody wanted to be out and about, you know, but I don't know. That's why I'm kind of just keeping it careful. And then we can adjust it because financially we're in good shape.
The one thing I'd make a suggestion, I know we're in the middle of the public hearing, but that I think it's important if we want the input from the public that we repost, even if we have a second public hearing, but doing it again next month, because it wasn't even posted on the website. until I think within the last 24 hours, and I think even this morning, the budget.
I thought we posted that when I sent it out.
That I don't think it got
on the website.
I don't think so, and I could be wrong. Peg, will you correct me if it was available? But I don't think it was available to the public until this morning, and I think it's an outdated version.
That's correct. I didn't have this budget till you sent it to me, Elizabeth.
She asked me because she hadn't gotten it yet, and I didn't have the corrections. I had the email that you sent with corrections on the 20th, but the last copy of the budget I had gotten was the last meeting.
Well, we definitely had it posted out by the post office and everything. So that, you know.
It just wasn't the digital version?
Yeah, it wasn't the digital.
Because I didn't even know it was posted at the post office.
Yeah, we've been trying to put everything out there where everybody goes to the post office and stuff. So do we have any comments on the budget? Peg, anybody there?
John Barenth is raising his hand.
Okay, John.
I noted from the version that you had last month, the changes in the Planning Commission budget. I think that much better reflects our historic needs and appreciate that change. And would just like to thank you for all the work you've done on the budget. I know it's a lot of work.
All right, thanks, John. Well, the nice thing is financially we're in pretty good shape, and a lot of towns can't say that. We've been frugal, and Steve's left us in really, really good shape. You guys have, all of you have, you know, so I think we're in pretty good shape going forward. So I would like to entertain a motion from someone to pass this budget then as it is.
First, we have to leave the public hearing and go back and
check. Oh, we do. Thank you.
And
yes.
then you can have a motion on the table once it's seconded. Then we can have a discussion as a.
That's true. Too.
And then you.
Yeah, I forgot about that. I got Elizabeth. Thank goodness for Elizabeth. The Planning Commission's got John Grant. I got Elizabeth. All right.
I make a motion to close the public hearing on the budget.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Lash, yes.
Elizabeth, yes.
Okay.
Steve, yes.
Jim, yes.
Judy, yes. Okay, motion carries 5-0. The public hearing is closed. Now I make a motion that we adopt the budget as is. Do I have a second?
Yes, I'll second it.
Now we discuss.
If there's more to discuss.
Okay, if anybody on the town council wants to discuss anything. Okay, all in favor?
Gladys, yes.
Elizabeth, yes.
Steve, yes.
Jim, yes.
Judy, yes. Okay, the budget passes. And we will get that taken care of.
I make a motion to open the public hearing on ordinance 2022-01, amending chapter 152 of the Boulder Town Code of Ordinances.
Okay. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Gladys, yes.
Elizabeth, yes.
Steve, yes.
Did you, Jim, yes?
Yes.
Oh, Judy, yes. Okay. Who did second that?
I said.
Okay. Okay. I have John Barenth. I've asked him to fill in and answer any questions anybody has about these amendments. They really worked hard on this. And if any of you have been to the meetings, they've done a good job. This has gone back and forth, and they've done the best to not only stay within the general plan, they're really thinking about Boulder as a whole and a rural community. So I've read through these, and to me, they've done an excellent job. So I will take any public comments right now on 2022-01. The proposed amendments regulating land divisions. This is a new draft, similar but not identical to the previous drafts you've received, trying to show the changes. Draft to draft would be confusing. So this shows the changes from the code as it stands. And I'm going to read the three whereases so you guys know, and then I'll wait for any comments. Whereas Boulder Town can implement its general plan and protect the public interest during development only via the effective regulations of land divisions. Whereas Boulder Town's current requirements for parcel boundary adjustments have been partially superseded by changes in state law and also require substantial clarification. Whereas Boulder Town currently fails to provide a process for the amendment of recorded subdivision plans, plats as required by state law, and be it ordained that the Boulder Town Code of Ordinances is amended as follows. So I'm not gonna read all this. I'm assuming everybody's gone through and read it. And so now I'll take any public comments.
I think you should support it.
I'd like to make a comment, please.
Okay.
I don't know how to do it.
Oh,
yeah. I support this. I strongly support this. This is, the PC has done a great job. They've worked really hard. They wanted to do a comprehensive small subdivision ordinance, and they realized that they needed to deal with some of these issues beforehand. It was a long process. I think they've done a great job. I really appreciate it. So I support this wholeheartedly.
Thank you, Dan.
For the record, that was Dan Pence.
Okay.
John, do you still have your hand up?
Yes, I was just going to clarify. The ordinance that you have displayed is the one dealing with access driveways, and the whereas that Judy read were for the other ordinance, the lot adjust line adjustment ordinance. So we need to make sure I believe we're dealing with the one that you have displayed, and we should be clear about that.
Yes, that's 2022-1, yes.
One that we opened the public hearing for is this one, but the one that was read is not this one.
Nope.
So have I got the wrong?
You're doing the second one that's up.
So the O2?
Yeah.
Oh, we put two different.
It's the one that says, whereas providing increased options for small scale agriculture and housing.
Okay, we put the wrong numbers on. Peg put one and I put the other. Sorry, Peg. I didn't pay attention, so that was two, and the other one's one, right? Okay. All right, so that was 2202, correct? That's what you have up there? Okay. All right, well, if we don't have any other comments, I make a motion that we close the public hearing and go back into the public meeting. Do I have a second?
A second.
All those in favor? Gladys?
Yes.
Elizabeth, yes.
Steve, yes.
Jim, yes.
Judy, yes. All right. So I entertain a motion to amend to pass the amendment for 2202. Do I have a second?
We haven't talked about 2202 yet.
Oh, I thought that's what the number was.
2022-01.
That's this one.
It's called
That's what I had.
An ordinance amending Boulder's Town Code to provide greater clarity and practicality in review of
control. She put the wrong one.
Number, right?
There's no number on this one. It's just the ordinance itself. It
okay,
just
so
there's no dash something.
Okay, it so hasn't it's dash been... 01, correct there?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, it's dash. The one you're looking at on the screen is dash one.
Okay. Okay.
The one that is coming up that is regulating land divisions is dash two.
This one.
Peg, the one that you have on the screen is not the one we're talking about, though.
The one that's up on the screen is when I made a motion to open the public hearing, it was for this one.
Okay,
and it's in the order of the agenda.
I just
went in order of our agenda.
All right, so that is the one right there. Is that correct?
Wait a minute. Let me
just make sure I got my...
Okay, there's proposed lot line adjustment one, which is the next one coming up. That's this one. And so the one that you just did is dash one. That's it.
Okay, dash 01, an ordinance amending Boulder Town to provide greater clarity. And is that the one?
Yes. Yes, that's dash one.
All right. Well, we better do that one first. If that's the one that you made a motion on, right? Opening the public hearing.
And that was the one that we just had people comment on.
All right. I put the wrong number on it and I apologize. Okay. So now that's the one that we had the public comment on. So we're making a motion to approve this. Yeah, 2201. And that's this one right here. Okay.
Can you see what's on the screen? Is that?
I thought I probably had the wrong number. That's why I went to the other one first, and I'm sorry. All right. So do we have any more? Did we get a second on that, Elizabeth?
I don't remember. I think we should do it again.
All right. I make a motion that we pass ordinance 2022-01, an ordinance amending Boulder Town Code to provide greater clarity and practicality in the review of proposed subdivisions, correct?
I second that.
Okay, Jim.
You can ask. Yeah.
Well, we got a second. As soon as second. Okay. Now we can have a discussion.
Okay. So there's a couple things on here that I didn't understand for the clarification. It says allow private driveways to access lots and subdivisions with four or fewer homes. But then in the very next one, it says subdivisions with four or fewer lots. So are we going homes or lots?
It should be lots, shouldn't it, John?
Can you give me a reference? What exact one?
I'm looking right at the one right above. It says amend 152-041.
Okay.
It's in big bold letters. They allow private driveways to access lots and subdivision for fewer homes.
Page one.
So you're proposing we change homes to lots.
Well, I'm wondering are we doing lots or are we doing homes? Because if we're doing homes, do we have to go back in and change it if somebody goes and puts two ADUs down there that now it's automatically becoming a... So are we going to do lots or are we doing homes on it? I think it should be lots.
I agree.
Yeah, me too.
Because if you're trying to say homes, that's just going to put us in a pickle later on.
Good catch, Jimmy.
I have a question. I know you've closed it for discussion. This is Shelley. But you have on the private streets associations. Do we have associations in Boulder?
No, but that's not saying down the road we may not. So I
right,
think that's
but shouldn't
I,
we shouldn't add that until we've addressed it, should we?
Do you mind referencing the exact section you're in?
It's on private streets, the one you have up on page one, private streets, and the last thing it says private person or associations.
This is John. I think that would cover any type of agreement, for example, that two or three landowners have agreed to and jointly maintain a road that creates an association that's more than one person.
I also think there's a lot of properties that are owned by LLCs and not by individuals, and so it also includes them. So
okay, so we're not talking HOAs or anything like that, right?
But there's if you look at the town records and the property ownership, there's a lot that's not in individual names. They're either in a family trust or an LLC or so on. for various reasons.
Gotcha. Thank you. Sorry.
Okay. So, John, did you hear him on allow private driveways to access lots and subdivisions with four or fewer homes? We're changing that to lots.
I'm trying to find where it says homes. That's what it's.
Right towards the bottom, one paragraph up from the bottom on the first page.
In one paragraph.
In bold letters.
152.041, right above that.
And I don't know who else is on the call because I can't see all the people that are on Planning Commission, but we do also have two Planning Commission members here in the meeting rooms for clarification. Will you say your name for the
record? I'm just reading it. I agree it should be four or fewer lots. That was the intention. That was always Boulder's practice. I am just confused here. There may have been a typo, and I'm just trying to find it but no, the intention certainly was four or fewer lots.
And John, you have Colleen agreeing, and I think Elena. Elena's also nodding in agreement with you. Elena Hughes and Colleen Thompson are here.
Okay, we'll change that to lots, four or fewer lots.
And then my other thing on here was on 152-041H5. The very bottom of it says the private driveway is required to meet all public safety requirements as may be required by the town's fire marshal. Like I said in the last meeting, we need to remove fire marshal, but fire official, because fire marshal is not the correct term if we're going to actually use the actual terms for what we're doing. And fire marshal is in charge of inside a building and 5 feet outside of it. That is the only thing they're in charge of. So we have to change it from fire marshal to fire official or whatever we want to change it. It cannot be fire marshal.
Is that something that needs to be addressed in this particular one, or because this is I do understand that, but let me just finish that. This is matching all other ordinances, and at a different date that we go through and we redefine what that is and we change it in all ordinances at the same time, as opposed to having some ordinances say one thing and have one name and a different ordinance say something different. And wouldn't it be to our benefit to have, although it may not be the correct use of the word, it is what is the standard across our town currently. And that we would go back in, and I don't know, I'm asking, like, which is the right way when you're slowly changing things over? And I don't know if you have more experience in this or if it's something that we need to look into. Can we have one ordinance that lists one job title as one thing and another ordinance that lists it something else and so on and so forth? Because right now we have that position identified and listed and used throughout the town.
So we'd be better off, I would say, that if we did one time, we say, okay, we're changing in all the ordinances, we're changing the term of fire marshal over to fire
official or whatever.
And I think, and that's all I'm proposing, is that not looking at it in this document, but that we put it on the agenda in the future to address across the board and define it. And whether that's something that we do or it's something that we put in writing as a request to the Planning Commission and it starts there and then comes to us. I'm not sure the order of that, but I think it would be to our benefit to have all of them the same and then all of them changed at the same time.
I agree. Makes sense.
Yes, I agree too.
And so I think we need to make that written to the Planning Commission. Yeah. We would like you to address this.
Yeah, we'll do that.
What else do you have, Jimmy?
That was it.
Okay.
I have a comment or two. I just want to thank the Planning Commission. I think it's really nice to have the clarification of the various definitions. And I think that the more clean and concise our ordinances are, it's easier for people to follow. And I think that it should take, consideration that it did simplify it. And I think having the individual things as a private street, a private driveway identified and defined, so that way it is less confusing and easier for the town, is to everyone's benefit. So just a comment on it.
All right, thanks, Elizabeth. And they do, that's amazing. And The ordinances should be 101 so people can understand what they say. Since we've made the motion and seconded it, I make a motion that we pass this with that change of changing fewer homes to fewer lots. Do I have a second on that change?
I could be wrong, but I don't think you need a new motion because it's the motion just on the table with it? The amendment, and you just need a vote.
Okay.
And I could be wrong, and someone else could correct me, but I think we have the motion, we have the second, we have the discussion, and I think what you do at this point is say, do the roll call vote with the change
with
of
the
word
lots.
Homes to okay. lots on page one, the second to last paragraph in bold.
All right. So, all in favor?
Gladys, yes.
Elizabeth, yes.
Steve, yes.
Jim is.
Judy, yes. Okay, passed 5-0 with the change. Now, since I already read the first of it, all right, this is 22-02. An ordinance amending chapter 152 of the Boulder Town Code of Ordinances. You want me to read the whereases again?
Okay, so are we going into the totally?
Oh, we got to read that first. Yeah, I just was going to read kind of the whereas to it, but okay. Since it's posted, we really don't. Okay. So I make a motion that we go out of the public meeting into a public hearing. Do I have a second?
Wow. Okay, go ahead.
All right. All in favor?
Gladys, yes.
Elizabeth, yes.
Steve, yes.
Jim, yes.
Judy, yes. All right. Do we have any from the public that would like to speak out on this ordinance? And again, the guys have done an amazing job, I think. And John, I want to thank you for putting in the time you have on this with Lee Nellis, because I know you spend a lot of time along with the rest of the Planning Commission. No hands in here. We got any hands on Zoom?
I'm not seeing any hands. Up.
Okay, I make a motion. We go out of the public hearing. Back in.
Second.
Elizabeth, yes. Oh, you get to.
All in favor?
Flash, yes.
Elizabeth, yes.
Steve, yes.
Jim, yes.
Judy, yes. All right, I make a motion or I entertain a motion, either way, to approve this ordinance 22-02, sorry. And I do have a 2-02. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
It is open for discussion.
So one of the main things is this is just incorporating the new state laws and clarifying procedures, not, you know, just for people to know what is being changed. I have no comments on it.
Okay, anybody else?
No.
All right, all in favor of passing 2022-02?
Gladys, yes.
Elizabeth, yes.
Steve, yes.
Jim, yes.
And Judy, yes. Passes. All right. Moving along here. All right, Josh Ellis asked to be put on the agenda for the conflict of interest training. And before you speak, Josh, I'm really kind of glad because I missed this We did the ethics training. We went online and did the municipality training, but we did not sign the conflict of interest. So if you would like to come up and speak, you may.
You just get to stay up.
Yeah, you could even. I don't know that. Oh, they did replace that. I think they replaced it. Is it up there?
Come close to Lexi so she can pick. She's recording.
There's no.
Come right. Join the table and sit down.
Make sure we're turned on.
You have to hit that little button.
All right. Yeah. Thanks for having me. I guess I would kind of like to start in a related note and just comment that I found the treatment of Peter Benson in the last meeting absolutely abhorrent and super frustrating and disgraceful. And he's a really dedicated volunteer that's done so much for this community for multiple decades on multiple fronts, including serving on this council. And his treatment was not only inappropriate, but was also misguided because the council as a whole was not adequately prepared to have an intelligent conversation with him about what he does and why. And his abuse and aggressive questioning was allowed by somebody with a conflict of interest the size of Alaska in the item at hand. And I hope that moving forward, you all can collectively do better. This council is not a forum to bring forth our community volunteers and harangue them and drag them over the coals. And if you continue to do that, you will soon find there's not many people left to help you actually carry out the business of this town on a day in and day out basis. So my first plea is to raise the level of professionalism and decorum in interfacing with community members. That includes the whole BCA 4th of July issue as well. My second plea involves getting some appropriate conflict of interest training that goes beyond the Municipal Ethics Act, which is the law, and actually teaches and addresses the standard of conduct, which deals with the appearance of propriety doctrine and the concept of recusal and guidelines around recusal. And if you are getting conflict of interest training that does not address the appearance of propriety or fairness doctrine and recusal, then you are literally not getting training. And it's been a recurring problem in this community for years. And it seems like we have this general attitude like, well, it's a small town and everything's interrelated, so we can't do anything about it. That's not true. Some situations are bigger issues than others. I'm happy to make some decision-making flow charts. Communities can set up their own ethics review panels. I'd be happy to volunteer for that. I find it terrifying, the route we're going down currently. You know, failure to disclose your business interests that result in potential conflicts at the commencement of office is a misdemeanor, but failing to disclose your vested financial interest in the outcome of business before the council is a felony. And being such a small town, it's really important that we're not requiring each other to turn each other in. Like, I don't want to turn Jimmy in, but I will, because it's my duty as a concerned citizen to run this up the food chain to the political subdivisions ethics review board in the attorney general's office. And I think there's just a persistent lack of knowledge and training around what a conflict of interest is, the different types of conflicts of interest, and most importantly, the standard of conduct that exists across the state amongst other municipalities. If you go to the Salt Lake City Attorney's website, they publicly list all of the conflict of interest advice that they're giving to the council members, and it includes such inane things as use of a bicycle. Conflicts of interest across the state are massively sensitive issues that should be thoroughly addressed and properly vetted, including by the attorney if necessary. But we need better training before someone gets in trouble. We're going down a dangerous path here, and it's scary and unnecessary. Recusal is a tried and true method of ensuring that conversations are fair and transparent. There's a reason you have a quorum less than your total member count. And one of the reasons for that is so members can recuse themselves in matters that they have conflicts of interest and business can continue. The Utah League of Cities and Towns has great resources for this, and we'll come do a training or zoom in and do a training or whatever. But I really plead with you to pursue proper training beyond just reading the law, because the law is not, again, the standard of conduct that other municipalities and people in your position are actually engaging conflicts of interest with. Thank you.
Thank you, Josh. Our annual conflict of interest disclosure form does include some of the stuff that you were talking about.
I'd like to know, what am I in conflict of interest with, Josh?
You are a certified water operator that's an employee of the water company, and you're trying to make a law in town that would bring the private, your private employer, hundreds of thousands of dollars a year in new revenue.
My private employer, okay. Well, for one, you own part of that company too. Everybody that has their water meter has.
That's irrelevant.
Hold on.
It's irrelevant.
Two, I'm not doing anything that the subdivision ordinances and our NAFTA actually tells us to do. I'm reading what our stuff says for our ordinances that we have there. It's not a conflict of interest if it's actually in the ordinances that I didn't make. I didn't write any of these ordinances. I didn't pass any of these ordinances. All I'm doing is reading the ordinances from our ordinances that are already set here. And if we don't like them, like I said in the last meeting, change the ordinance. I'm not trying to make so Boulder Farmstead gets hundreds of thousands of dollars in revenue.
I'm not saying you are. That's not, your intention is irrelevant to conflict.
I'm reading the subdivision ordinances, Josh.
You are required by law to explicitly state the fact that you have a financial vested interest in the outcome of this conversation.
I do not.
Now listen,
Your income comes from the water company.
Okay, but I get an income from it whether they get a fire hydrant in there or not.
We, in this conflict of interest form that we do fill out, which we have, which we are right now, it does state the businesses, like I work for Hills and Hollows. And I have given that a lot of thought. And I try to be really careful because I am an employee. Now, it's true, luckily, with stuff that has come along so far, it has not benefited me financially because Hills and Hollows, they're the LLC, and it takes in that new thing that they're putting in, that new hamburger stand that they're putting in. So Colleen and I really have to watch what we do and try to recuse ourselves if we both talked about this, you know, to make sure that we're okay. But when you have a company like Boulder Farmstead, and it's owned by all of us have shares in that farmstead. They are employees of that farmstead. I don't know, Josh, that is particularly a conflict of interest. I personally, and we'll have to ask the rest of the panel, I personally don't see where it's a conflict of interest because he is holding up the ordinances and he's not personally making money off.
Who would install the hydrants?
Howard and Reese or whoever gets to do the bid that goes out for bid. We don't go in and install anything. It all goes out for bid. We don't do any of that.
Elizabeth?
And we maintain it. It's a simple disclosure. It has nothing to do with intention.
I've told everybody that I work for the water company and I'm a certified water operator.
You are required by law at the beginning of the conversation to at least disclose.
And we will do that. I promise you. It will
you
be.
You did not do that.
Well, we
you
will.
Objectively, did not do that. We okay.
Can
listen to the reporting. You did
that's
not
true. From
it.
This minute forward, that's what we're working on. Elizabeth?
I just want to bring up, I think that the first step is that everybody that is on the council to date, both on the planning commission and the town council.
Correct.
And not everybody currently that is sitting here has a current annual conflict of interest disclosure form. And that's the first step. But I also think instead of this conversation being about a specific example, we should go back to the big picture of the request of a training, right?
Correct.
Because we're not here right now to discuss whether Jimmy did or did not have a conflict of interest in this one example. The annual conflict of interest disclosure form that all planning commission members and all town council members have.
And clerks.
And clerks and everyone else. You sign it and it has to be updated annually. And the expectation is that if things change within that year, that you, as the appointed official or elected official, is updating as needed. And that they're always available and open to the public.
Yes, they are.
And that they can be requested at any time by anyone. And that's one thing. And the second one is saying, and I know for one, like, I feel like I have a pretty good concept of conflict of interest, but every time it came up, both when I was on planning commission and now, I would go to, you have to go back and redo those trainings. But in these years I've been here, there has not been a actual training for all of us. That's not discussing it as a specific thing, but as a general thing of how do we conduct ourselves as a town. And I think it would be to all of our best interest to host a training that is for the town council, for the planning commission, that is open to the public for people to come so everybody can be informed and better set up for the next time as a thing moving forward. And I think that it's something that is needed, and it has been something that over the years we have had issues in the planning commission, we've had issues in the town council. And once you're in the moment, it's really hard to clarify. And then if we all have that additional training and support, we go into the situation knowing, and it's not just one person trying to explain it, but it's all of us supporting each other.
You're right. And I think the Utah City Leagues and Towns would do that. Like the last time I was there, they talked about that they could do something like that. So
and
I'll check into that, Josh, also to make sure.
And I think that it is important that we include the planning commission in it, and it be something that we coordinate our schedules, and it's an open public meeting, and that everybody that wants to be learned. And I also think either as a separate thing or piggybacking on it, the planning commission has been doing a really good job in the recent months of retraining how to run a meeting and the rules of a meeting. And, you know, and those things, they need to be reviewed and re-looked at periodically, and whether we also include that or do it as a separate thing or work with the planning commission on that. I think there are ways that we can prepare ourselves to better serve.
Okay, any more discussion on that? And I agree. I don't think there's anything wrong with training. There are some classes I'm going to be taking in the near future on budgets and different things as just learning a lot of this stuff. So, all right. Thanks, Josh. And thanks, Elizabeth. I think that's a really good idea. So I've got it down though. See what I can find out for us. And we could put it in one of our meetings on the agenda, have it an open meeting and invite the planning commission and the public, and be a good thing. Then we're all on the same page. Okay. The town road right of way. Donna Jean did get the survey done. It was finished up yesterday, actually. We talked early this morning, and I went down and took some pictures. It has a flag on the pole, and I went over to talk to Candace and Corey today because we were waiting for that survey to come in. But as a town council, I would like to discuss this for a minute to see whether we give them time to move the pots and the rocks, which I think is only right. Even Donna Jean said she would like that now that this survey is done. So is there any, has anybody got any comment on that? They have requested that both pots and the black rocks in front be moved. And this up and this new survey that they've got done, it has actually moved it 6 inches north of Donna Jean Spence running east and west.
Will you remind me of the date that the survey was done?
I guess,
in relationship to the last email we received from Corey, was it before or after?
No, it just happened.
And after, and have we had any communication from either Corey or Candace?
No, because they've been out of town.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so will you repeat what you are wanting from us right now? Sorry.
Well, I just want, I mean, really it isn't a discussion because that we need to move the pots and rocks and have Corey, Candace and Corey move the pots and rocks. And that has been the issue all along. And it was at one point, Corey did tell me that he measured from the motel to the fence and it was 60 feet. So when I sent out that letter that I sent to you guys, I assumed he was recognizing the fact that that was the road. So, and then he was got upset that the survey wasn't done. And that's okay, because I get that. Okay, so that's why we waited up to this point. And I think, was the survey done a week ago?
It was done yesterday afternoon.
That was finished yesterday, though, wasn't
yes.
it? I thought Donna said it like had been done, but they had to finish up whatever they do.
The engineers researched out the county and state plot maps.
Oh, that's what it was, yeah. Right. So it actually got finished yesterday.
Okay, so at this point, we have new information, but it has not yet been shared with everybody, including us.
No, not including them. So, and I tried going by, and I talked to Lexi today. She got back early. They were still down there. I went by the house to talk to them today. So I definitely want to talk to them, because that's one thing Corey said. I want that survey done, so.
Well, I think whatever we do moving forward, we need to make sure that we are really clear with communication and all information is shared. But I do think, regardless of how that is shared from the town council to both the Wilsons and the Johnsons, I think it's important that it either be from you as the mayor or Judy as the clerk, and that Lexi is not a part of this. It's not
no,
a position
I have not
that is fair
Lexi
to put
in
her
any of this. She'll tell you that I haven't included her in any of this. And I agree 100%. But I think it would be good if I had someone come with me. Would you be willing, Gladys?
Yeah. Okay.
You just tell me.
Well, we'll see when they get in, and I'll get with you, and we'll go over and talk to them. So, okay. Does that sound like a plan? All right.
Can I ask a question about the previous thing? I do think that we should make a date of when, although I know they're past, and anyone that is currently in a position. The conflict of interest disclosure forms from all planning commission and employees and town council, we need to make sure that we collect them.
I will.
So we'll get them out
to the planning commission and
and they might have already done theirs. I believe that you all did them in January.
Yeah,
it's on your
all
meeting.
You?
Yeah,
we,
it was done.
Jenny and I looked for them, and I didn't. We'll look again.
I'm pretty sure they were done in your January meeting, but I couldn't remember.
It was either in December or January. It was either, as much as it's on my calendar, I think it was in December. It had to be done by the end of the year.
Yeah, because I know you sent me one today, and I believe mine is current, but I did fill another one out in case it wasn't, and I have it signed for today. But we just need to make sure that it's followed up on, and then it
we'll
doesn't
try to
just
get
say,
done
we'll
with
do it, and then
a week I'll make all of us fill them out. And those of you that want to sit here and fill them out tonight, you can, and we'll okay, very good. Jim's all done with this. So we'll make sure it's done with, we'll put a week on it and get it done within then. Does that sound okay? Okay, all right. We're okay, the checks for April. We didn't get the ones done for May. Judy didn't have all the stuff together for May. So if you've had a chance to look at them.
United States Treasury. What's up with that total?
Is that a full cost? Yeah. Look at that at the same time. Yeah.
Just wondering. Is one of the, is it an extra five in there?
There is an extra five, yeah.
I was doing the math on it. I was like, no, there has to be a five.
Okay, we'll change that. So it's just strictly 25, 51, 48, correct? Yeah. All right. Anything else?
Nope.
All right. I make a motion we pass the checks. Thank you. With that change.
With the change, yeah.
With the change of taking out one of the fives.
This is just for April, right?
April, yeah.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Yes. Yeah.
I'm not going to vote. I did not look at them.
Okay.
Steve, yes.
Steve, yes.
Steve, yes. Motion carries 4-0. All right. Department reports. We'll start down with Gladys.
Okay, first, I'm sorry about the flag at the cemetery. I'll blame it on the wind. There are a couple that are still flying over somebody's home of the brave. So if it's you, you'll know where it came from. Oh, you found one, Judy. Oh, I got one pole left to put it on. Anyway.
Yeah, there was a pole to put it
on. Okay, and some of your soul must come on, along and helped out with some of them that I didn't notice that were broke too, but I've taken them all home and I've reattached them with something else. We'll see how that works out. Okay, I think that's all. Oh, is there specific days? I think that the town can decide which days they want the flags to fly at the cemetery. So far, I've done Memorial Day, 4th of July, Labor Day, Veterans Day. I do Pearl Harbor Day, but lots of times the wind, the weather is lousy.
What did you say, Jim?
I think that's it for you.
Okay, I didn't know whether, did we still do Flag Day on June 14th? I don't know.
I don't either.
Why not?
You wanted to see if I really got it fixed. I did. Okay, we'll do Flag Day.
Do you want to help?
No, I got a system.
Before I tell you that you should do it, should you want help?
No, I got a system. And I usually ask.
I mean, I see a lady here, but does she want to do it?
Yeah, she enjoyed that now. So, yeah, okay.
So that's it.
Yeah, I don't think the travel council does not meet in the summer months, and I assume everything's doing okay after that.
Okay. Elizabeth?
I've got mine. I accidentally forgot to print my notes, so let me open them up. I apologize. Okay, let's see. The Arts Council has an upcoming exhibit from the community, and it is art inspired by the Arts Council and workshops, and they're looking for items, and they'll continue to post that. They have a film night coming up on the 11th from the Utah Film Center. They have a band, Pixie and the Party Grass Boys, performing and doing a songwriting workshop on the 26th. The library is continuing to provide open hours and has been posting periodically on Pegboard. The school district, let's see, the schools are closed for the summer. Construction's going on in Escalante for the new elementary school, and there are lots of open district positions across the county. And lots in Boulder too, so people want to apply. Let's see, Planning Commission. Their May meeting included public hearings and recommended approvals of the ordinances that we did this evening. They've got quite a bit coming up next week. They have a discussion and a vote on the subdivision pending completed paperwork. Lee Ellis provided a memo for the Planning Commission on discretion with the width depth ratio of lots that they'll be discussing. They have some subdivision changes coming up, which is to concentrate on strategy, discussing goals, identifying problems, and their current ordinances. There was a ULCT memo on electric signs that needs to be changed from the state. Some housing needs they're going to discuss, as well as open spaces and discussing the general plan. They have some administrative procedures that they have for a submittal application, so staff things. There's a temporary housing CUP on the agenda for temporary camping, I believe. A ULCT memo on electric signs, which I wrote twice. And I believe that's all. Colleen, Elena, did I miss anything? And that's what I have for department reports. And with people, if they think it's okay, I would like to reach out to BCA and ask if they would like a town liaison, and then also kind of brainstorm and ask other and check that we're not missing other organizations and groups that are needed, if that works.
That's good. Seems to me like most of them do after doing that list, but I'm not 100%, so that's good.
And me reaching out and asking them is not necessarily saying that who will be assigned to it. It's just seeing if they're interested, and then if it is, bring it up on, make it agenda item for next month, and we can assign it out accordingly, if that works.
I think you're a perfect person for it.
Thank you.
Excuse me. Good, good, good. Okay. Thank you. I really appreciate everything you do.
Yeah, and I guess in general, just people brainstorm and maybe at the next meeting come up, because like I know Parks Committee has one and the Tree Committee, and I mean, there's just lots of things, and just make sure that we don't have other holes
to
prevent it for future communication and support.
That's a good idea. Steve?
I'll have more next month. I'm going to call a meeting middle of next week with the Parks Committee. I know Sam Stout and at least one other member of that committee that were unable to attend the last meeting. And I'd like to look at more comprehensive ideas for the development of the park area, long-term, short-term. Anyway, hope to have that meeting in the middle of next week, and I'll have more to report next month on that.
That's great. Jim?
The dump. Still waiting on Dwight's for...
Oh, he hasn't come over through the mail yet, huh?
No, he told me it's still going to probably be probably the end of July because their crusher's down and their, not their excavator, but their car, their grabber is down, broken the same day. So they're kind of done over there. Fire department, I think we had two car fires, one fatality in Boulder, one fatality in Escalante. We had to respond to, and I think that's it for fire department. That's it. Oh no, Karen, she never got her check that we approved. She sent me an email asking for her check. Karen Ross, or however you say her last name.
No.
It's for her EMT refunding.
I think it was approved maybe in like February,
yeah,
January or February.
Yeah,
it's been
at least,
a, it's
at least
been
two
a
months
while.
Ago, two or three months ago. Yes, please. Because, yeah, she sent me an email first thing this morning asking me to if I can get it to her. No, okay. That's it.
All right. Very good. the Garfield... Planning Commission was a small meeting. We did a minor lot subdivision approval in Bryce. We did a subdivision approval Moon Valley in Hatch. And in Cambridge, we did short-term rental conditional use permit. And that was pretty well it for the whole meeting. Tree City, I talked to them. Right now they're working on maintenance and keeping the trees watered and cared for with compost tea. They put the 9-year stickers up on the Tree City Highway signs, which is pretty cool. So Anne was real excited about that, which she should be. Let's see, we covered the voting boxes. I think that's it. I don't think have anything else right now. We'll go ahead and open the public comments unless somebody else has got
the clerks have anything.
Oh, that's right. I've chief but out of town. You got anything, Judy, the clerk?
Yeah.
Okay, we're good. That's true. So we'll open it up for public comments. And Judith Gill is, we didn't get her on, we talked late, we didn't get her on the agenda, but she's got a really cool thing for the wildfire. Go ahead,
Judy. I'd like to refer first to Scott. You wanted to address some issues on Bird Trail.
Sure.
Yeah,
this is Scott Brody, and I wasn't at the last meeting, but I didn't get any details on the Bird Trail discussion on the dangers and the proposed widenings or whatever, you know. But I did see in the Garfield County Insider and then also the minutes on the board that I couldn't really figure out what exactly it was that you're possibly proposing. It sounded like maybe a center line and then a widening. And I guess my question was, just more details on that, just because I do have some concerns if it is a major project that would funnel additional traffic down the Bird Trail, that would then potentially even cause more problems than what it's trying to solve.
Well, the corner area, that whole entire area, it's just completely unsafe. You got people parking out in the middle of the stop sign. You got people, as soon as they pull off of the Bird Trail, they stop right in the middle of the Bird Trail, everything like that. So what we were talking, I was talking to you, Dot, about how and what we can do to actually improve the corner for it. And that's what I'm saying. They said, we need to, for one, ask Catherine if we can trim the trees going around that corner right there. To the exit out of the Bird Trail Grill and the coffee shop coming off the south side, we need to actually narrow it down so it's an only one entrance and exit, so it's not the whole entire thing. And then the turn lane coming in from the south, coming in, so you're not holding up traffic on Highway 12 to turn into on the Bird Trail. So, and then we were also talking about the hills in front of my parents' house where you can't see anything there. But I found out from the county that that's actually our road. It's a town road. It's no longer county road. And so that's up to us to try to figure out what we want to do. I even had Rod Peterson offer property so we could actually widen the Bird Trail right there. It's not such a death hill right there. It's just that stuff. It was just mostly the parking and the hill right there.
Okay. Because the way I read it, I thought, I wasn't sure if it was a continuation down the Bird Trail. And, you know, I personally would be opposed to road widening and striping that would funnel additional vehicles down.
We almost need it anywhere from Highway 12 all the way down to Lower Boulder, that whole entire road, just for the, I've seen the amount of people that we have on that road and how fast they go. Mm-hmm. I've seen cars pass on that hill, like coming up the hill, they'll turn around, pass two cars coming up the hill in a blind hill. That the whole section from, like I said, from Highway 12 past Lower Boulder Road is bad. Yeah. It's horrible, that whole entire area through there. So that's the only part we're thinking about widening, or if anything, and it'd even be hard. It'd be hard to widen it just for the fact that they'd have to go in and drop the whole entire road down 4 feet. Like I talked to Tibbs and Jerry Taylor Dodds and Jerry Taylor for probably an hour and a half about this whole thing. And
okay.
Yeah, it's a bigger project than.
I think at this point, at least my understanding was the last meeting and still this both last month and this month was just letting Jimmy keep asking questions. And at this point, there were no additional details, maps, information to give, because it was just a kind of like gather information. And that would be my one thing, is that if it, you know, the next time it comes on the agenda, if there can be more information that's posted, both for us and the public. Yep.
And I don't have any information. Highway 12 told me that he needs to talk to the safety directors and the tourism director and actually figure out what's going on. And he said that he knows for a fact it's a bad area because he's gotten more calls than just me trying to talk to him about it.
Okay. Well, I know, I appreciate that. And I would just ask that you just consider any traffic impacts that you might create, additional traffic impacts.
I'm trying to make it where the traffic that's there is not as bad anyway. Like, because it's already turning down the Birchell. They're already going down that way anyway. So all I'm trying to do is just make sure that it's an actual safe intersection. Because that intersection, in fact, it's in our general plan as one of the hazard sites. And it's been on our general plan since, I think, 92, I think it is, when it got put in there. I think that might be the date. But I know it's on there, and it's been sitting on there and just sitting on there as one of the biggest hazards in Boulder.
Okay. Yeah, thanks.
Thank you.
Good evening. Judith Geil here, spelled Alexei, G-E-I-L. And I'm here representing the Wildfire Council at the invitation of our mayor to discuss looking into the development of a plan for the emergency operation plan that is codified. And I did send each of you yesterday an email. I apologize, it was late, but we just discussed it late. So let me read it again to remind you of the content and also to put it on the public record. Mayor Drain is welcoming the assistance of the Boulder Wildfire Council in implementing the guidelines written into the EOP, which is the Emergency Operation Plan. I will be at the upcoming meeting, here I am, and I will be referencing a section of our code, which is 3310, chapter 33. What we need to talk about is a good number of items, but the one I'm here on tonight is the communication networking between a chain of command, which I referenced as being the mayor, the fire chief, and you council members. Now, what that role entails has yet to be worked out, and I'm hoping over the next 6 months or so that we can progress on that concept. But one piece that I thought we could get started on would simply be a way of connecting the chain of command leadership with the community members in a systematic and efficient manner. And the mayor and I spent a little bit of time talking, and we came up with the concept of the pod, which is a breaking down of neighborhoods or streets or subdivisions into small units that would interact on emergency response behaviors and be responsible for contacting their pod members if the chain of command would have to implement a mandated evacuation. Now, how all that develops is still undressed, but I would like some discussion or an approval to move on the concept of meeting with interested and responsible individuals within certain sections of our community and see if they would work together to be the direct communicator with a specific member of the town council in case of an emergency. And I need to hear whether or not you think that is a workable solution for getting in touch with 100 and some residents in this community.
Do you think that we can move forward and say that we'll put it on the agenda between now and the next one?
That's a good thing. Yeah.
That the wildfire works on the how to be addressed, because we understand the why and you want to figure out the plan to make the why.
Yes, and we'd like a support from the council to move ahead. The Wildfire Council, a number of members are willing to reach out to each of the, what we're seeing as areas, and we'll come back with what we're thinking of as definitive small regions. One would be Boulder King Estates, Black Mesa, Lower Boulder Road, our 450 West, which includes Hills and Hollows, the area of downtown, which would include halls and the museum and then the school. So there'd be separate entities, the school, the church, the individual businesses, the lodge. I would like to go in and with the support of the council, ask them to put together a small, I guess a series of steps that they would take if they were to receive a call for a mandated evacuation.
Yeah, and you know, Judy, put that down and divide it into what you see are good areas, mm-hmm. and then we'll discuss it next month and decide as the council. I mean, we could step out and get in touch with a few people in those areas to get this thing going. Just, I mean, the thoughts of even having something like this happen, you just shudder, but the bottom line is it could very well happen. And the sooner we can get this, at least something going to where if something did happen, we have some motion moving forward, even if it isn't really big. So if you could put those areas together and bring it, we'll put it on the agenda and discuss it a little bit and keep this in mind, you guys, since she's presenting this basic part, and then once she brings the actual designated areas that she's putting together, we could even change that in the future, but we would have something to work with and move forward with.
So, would the council members be comfortable with our council and other interested parties approaching individuals and saying, would you be willing to be part of a small group that would respond to a call for a emergency evacuation?
Well, I think we're gonna have to go that route.
Yes, but yeah, I need some nods to whether or not the council is comfortable, because I certainly, as an individual, or even as a member or chair of this small entity, the Wildfire Council, I do not feel that I have the authority to say this is the direction that we will possibly or probably go.
Yeah.
But if I have some nods, then I will say that we are looking at this as a option or as the direction we wish to move at this time.
I think it's a smart direction.
I do.
I do think to keep it to work with and see if either it needs to be adapted, changed, or incorporated. The current town has an emergency plan.
Oh, it's yes, absolutely, but it doesn't tell you how.
Yes, but it's still just the why, but we don't have the action steps.
Yes, yes. Every single item in that is a, you need to do this, but there's no, how do we do it? And the other small piece, and it's probably not critical at this time, but if you have read that section, you will notice that under the section on chain of command, what you see is individuals listed. And Mayor Cox had said at that, that was a bad move to put names. For instance, Mayor Bill Hughes is listed in.
That's been updated.
Well, according to former Mayor Cox, those changes cannot be made without a public hearing.
Yeah.
But the suggestion that former Mayor Cox had made to me in discussion is, let's eliminate names. And just say mayor, council one, council two, council three.
I think at this point it's still a draft, and that's why I was saying to make sure you incorporate it, because then at the point that, you know, on the agenda the next month we'll be presenting what you've gotten, and then we'll keep moving. But eventually it needs to go forward as a public hearing and everything. But right now the current version that we just updated is still in draft form, but it has been taken those into consideration. And so that's what was my recommendation, is make sure you get the most current draft that the town council has been working on that has been updated since this town council has been up this since January. True? We made, and like I said, it's still draft form. It was never approved. But make sure that you're working off of that, so then at the end we're not trying to combine things.
Because I'm looking at what was just online, which is at the 2020 code, chapter 33.
Yeah, because it never has been approved or put on, so it's not in the codified ordinances. But it is, and it has not ever been, as far as I know, it wasn't posted publicly, but we did look at it since the three of you have been in your positions.
I mean, yeah, so we're going to have to find, they've got to be a copy of it somewhere.
Yeah, and so we need to make sure that that's shared with Judith and then also added to whatever month we did that. So it's backdated and put it as a link to a public document. I think we did it in March or April, but I'm totally guessing.
This year.
With
a new membership.
I think he did it in March or April of 2022, most recently, and it went off of a version. And that last version that did eliminate some of them, I believe, was searchable when you go into the codify, but I can't remember now. And I don't have those notes with me today, sorry.
I can
share them with you directly, but I think it's important that other people have access to that.
And I have one other question. Again, I appreciate your interest and support. I think it's in all our vested interest. But may I ask where the Wildfire Council would fit in terms of communicating with one of the council members? I would think it might be
Jim. It was a sign.
Because you said fire, but I think this.
No, it's already. It's
no, it's a department. It's listed.
You believe it's listed in your department. Okay, so I will initially communicate with you, sir, and then if we need to broaden the.
That's what I was just going to tell you. After the meeting, I want to talk to you real quick.
Okay.
So
I'll hold tight. Thank you for your time, everyone.
All right. Any other comments? Anybody on Zoom?
More in the public here.
I'm ignoring these people.
Bill Guile. I just have one quick comment. It's in relation to the previous discussion about the town ordinance with the term fire marshal. I just want to point out that besides going through the ordinances and doing a cleanup of changing that to fire official, when that change is made, it affects other documents that aren't town ordinances. And as I recall, when you go through the town's approval for a permit, you need several sign-offs, and it uses the term fire marshal there also. That's all I have.
Thank you.
Okay. There's a hand. I see it. Randy Ripplinger.
She just wants to keep you on your toes, Judy. Stop, Brody has his hand up.
Oh, that's good. Go ahead.
Yes, Scott Brody again. I was speaking with Pete Benson a while ago about fire protection in the draw, because I understand that the draw is part of the Boulder Fire Department's jurisdiction. And as we don't have any hydrants down there, I think any fire suppression pretty much would be through like a water truck. And I asked him what size the truck was, and he said it was 1,000 gallons. And generally they use that truck just for, they get that truck to a fire first to kind of calm the fire down a little bit until they can get the rest of the fire department there with the hoses. So obviously in a case like down in the draw with a fire, that really wouldn't do us any good. And so I asked him about the possibility of, you know, and the utility of having a larger water truck on hand, and he thought that would be great. It would just, you know, be a matter of getting it, which he thought there are quite a number of grants available out there. But I just wanted to bring it to the attention of the council that
we've talked about getting a water truck for the fire department before, and our problem is having a space to put it in.
Mm-hmm.
In the base, because it has water in it all the time, so you have to keep it indoors, you have to keep it heated, you have to, it can't just sit out in the parking lot and just be ready to go on fire. So even with the water truck, plus you can't, water truck, just the amount of maintenance that it costs, that it takes just for the water truck to keep the water in there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, so that's because, like, on our fire truck we have leaking pinions on our pumps itself, just for the fact that it makes it so it stays wet, still stay wet. Water trucks don't do that because they're not made to actually store the water. They're just made to put it in, take it out, spray it, and bring it back. So the water truck, it's a great idea even for wildland or any wildfire, anything like that. But that's our problem, was we didn't have a space big enough to even put a truck inside a bay. So
I see, yeah.
That was one of our one biggest problems when we're talking about different vehicles for the fire departments.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great idea. I'd love to get a 1,500 to 2,000 gallon water truck and have it sitting off to the side for us. But
okay. Well, I just wanted to bring that up because I know we're kind of on our own out there a little bit.
Yeah, thanks.
All right. Anybody else?
I have a comment. We talk a lot about fire tonight, and what I kind of have come up with about living in different parts of Utah is Utah State Code changed, and the requirements of these placements of fire hydrants is kind of a why state code even came about is because insurance on homes and having mortgages to get money to build a home and so on to qualify, the only way you can now in certain areas is to have within so many feet of that fire hydrant. And that's why Utah code even came up. And I thought that, I think it was Jimmy that brought it up, that said it's got to go in our ordinances now. And he stated the code for it because of that actual problem of giving
insurance
and lending money so people can build in these areas that are so rural. And I personally have been in situations that we had to change what we did to our house, and it was already existing, to get it closer to a fire hydrant. And we had to pay to have another fire hydrant because we were too far. And we were going to have to, there was all sorts of problems that was going to happen if we didn't change that for us in our home. So, you know, I hope people, maybe we need to clarify that code and why it exists and why we have to be within so many feet. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Doesn't look like it. All right. I make a motion that we adjourn.
I second.
All in favor?
Gladys. Elizabeth, yes.
Steve, yes.
Jim, yes.
Judy, yes. We are adjourned. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.